the church's music from the 20th century. The 17th century. The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
You hear people on the left say that the Supreme Court is illegitimate every single time they issue a ruling that differs from the preferred policies of the left.
It's confusing and inappropriate to conflate loyalty to Christ with loyalty to a nation or political program.
Allah in the Quran says, "I could have guided everyone to the truth, but instead I will fill hell with men," which is an idea that's abhorrent to the Bible that says God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth.
We commend a world that is in chaos and rebelling against God. We commend that world to Him. He will be the judge. And in the meantime, in every way that we can, we bear witness to the Son of God, our Savior.
New York City subway riders, love issues, etc.
The headline from Bloomberg reads, "With Roe overturned, Canada could become an abortion destination." I think that speculation began almost immediately after the Dobbs decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. Is it true? And what is the current state of abortion law in our northern neighbor, Canada? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. Back live on this Tuesday afternoon, July the 5th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be talking with Pastor Rick Church, president of Lutherans for Life Canada, about the impact of the Dobbs Supreme Court ruling on abortions in Canada. We'll spend some time with Pastor Tom Baker teaching a Sunday school lesson about the fall into sin in Genesis chapter 3. He hosts the radio show called Law and Gospel, and then we'll be responding to your unanswered Bible questions with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, author of the book Reading Isaiah with Luther, and Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, author of Has American Christianity Failed? Joining us to talk about the impact of the Dobbs Supreme Court ruling on abortions in Canada, Pastor Rick Jurich. He's pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada, and president of Lutherans for Life Canada. Rick, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you very much, Todd.
What is the legal status of abortion in Canada?
Since 1988, it's been pretty much wide open. There is no criminal law regarding abortion at all, no limitations. As far as the law is concerned, as long as a portion of the baby is still in the birth canal, abortion is an option.
Does Canada have a case like Roe v. Wade in its legal history?
Yes and no. It's got something similar. Back in 88, there was this Crown versus Morgenthaler, and that basically said that the current law, which had been put into place in 1969, which required a committee of three doctors to rule on whether a woman could have an abortion or not, was too restrictive, and it was struck down. However, even the most left wing of the justices said that the parliament should put into place levels of protection for the unborn into law that would not be quite as restrictive as what was in place before that. And the parliament has never succeeded in doing that. The last person to try to do that was Prime Minister Mulroney. So we're going back in the early 90s.
How would you describe the pro-life movement in Canada?
We're definitely there. The National March for Life, which we have our equivalent to the March for Life down in the States, usually gets least several thousand out to Parliament Hill in Ottawa, and there are parallel marches in most of the capitals across the country and the various provinces. We are a small but relatively vocal minority. However, due to the makeup of the media in Canada, we really don't get heard from too often unless they're looking for something nice and controversial, in which case they'll gladly call somebody who they can guarantee will be at the extreme end of things and give them a good soundbite.
Have there been any significant challenges since 1988 to the legal status of abortion in Canada?
There was a challenge that went before the Supreme Court in 89, which basically ruled that currently the fetus has no legal rights under Canadian law. There's no precedent for legal rights to the fetus. It didn't say that there couldn't be, just simply said in a case that came before them that presently there were none, and that would be up to Parliament to set into place something like that. There hasn't been a legal challenge, but there was a Conservative MP about 10, 12 years ago, Stephen Woodworth, who brought forward a private member's bill in Parliament under the Harper government, who tried to get an all-parties Commons Committee established that would look at the legal standing of the fetus. Basically, he's in answer to the direction of the Supreme Court or the recommendation of the Supreme Court in 88. And unfortunately, the Harper government itself would not support him in that. Most of the backbenchers did, but those who were in cabinet as a bloc voted against it, and the Liberals voted against it, and the NDP are, by principle, will always vote against anything that will protect the life of the unborn.
Tell us about the abortion industry in Canada.
Well, currently, in every province, the majority of abortions, to our knowledge, take place in hospitals. There are some abortion clinics in various provinces. The last holdout was Prince Edward Island, where they were not having even abortions in hospitals, or very rarely. Most of the women who wanted abortions in PEI went out of the province in order to get them, until Henry Morgenthaler, who was the person in the 88 Supreme Court decision who had been running an abortion clinic, got that overturned. There are clinics unofficially. It's a weird thing. Canada likes to pride itself on being a universal health care system where it's all public health care. And yet the first private health care practitioners, to my knowledge, were abortion clinics who get some funding from the province because it is carried out by doctors who are certified and get some reimbursement, but some other funding comes from fees that they charge. And it varies from place to place. And the reality is that private clinics, though they're few, they can also then deal more readily with folks who are from outside of the province or the country. Hospitals, generally, they're so busy trying to look after the folks who are covered under health care that you can go through them, but it's a little bit more difficult.
How has the Canadian government responded to the overturning of Roe v. Wade?
They were less than thrilled. Leaders of all the political parties, including the former leader of the Conservative Party now, they all spoke out against it, but particularly the Liberal Party and the who formed the government were very shocked and dismayed at it. The Liberal Party itself, just a few years ago under the current leader, Justin Trudeau, officially took a stand that they were pro-choice, and you could not serve as an MP in the Liberal Party and be pro-life, whereas it's ironic that back in the 1980s, when I was first getting involved with the pro-life movement in university, they were actually the pro-life party, more so than any other party.
How do you respond to Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's calling the Dobbs ruling a devastating setback?
For him, it definitely is. The law that first decriminalized abortion, or allowed for therapeutic abortion, as it was termed, in 1969, was actually created by his father when his father was justice minister, and was passed when his father had become prime minister the next year. And so it was very much his baby, and his son is following lockstep in his dad's footsteps. But his comment doesn't have a whole lot of legal teeth to it, in that the federal government has the authority under the Constitution to make criminal rulings about abortion or pass laws regarding the criminality of abortion, but they have actually no authority to guide the provinces in how abortions are carried out. The feds can supply money, but they can't even force the provinces to spend that money on health care. They have what are called federal transfer payments, and the provinces are free to use them in whatever area they choose to use them. So his protest has a lot of bite to it, but no real substance to it.
Some news outlets are speculating that Canada could become an abortion destination for American women leaving the states or who are living in states with abortion restrictions. Do you agree about that?
I'm skeptical about it. I can't remember the name of the fellow who organized recently a video presentation from pro-life leaders across the states. I remember his last name is Bright, or at least in German we say Bright. But I think they hit the nail more on the head, and that more likely that folks who want abortions who are in pro-life states will end up going to pro-choice states or anti-life states. The hassles at the border right now, even though they've improved over the last year, are still somewhat annoying. There might be something in the first year, much as when they legalized same-sex unions up here. There was an influx of folks getting married here, and then that died down pretty quick after the first year. So I really don't anticipate it, but I will also acknowledge that this is not a prophecy that's been handed to me by God.
Pastor Rick Jurich is pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada, and president of Lutherans for Life Canada. You'll find a link to Lutherans for Life Canada at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Pastor Jurich, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for the privilege and the honor, and I hope that what I've shared might be of some help to your listeners.
We will be teaching a Sunday school lesson, Man's Fall into Sin in Genesis chapter 3 with Pastor Tom Baker, right after this.
You can call it what you like. I call it life.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our journey through the Apocalypse, the Book of Revelation, with Faithful Unto Death, The Great Reversal, Seventh Trumpet, The Woman and the Dragon, and War in Heaven. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
The images of the war in Ukraine that have filled our screens over the last few months have left many people wondering, how do we address this as Lutherans? How do we think about war? How does the church, or can the church, speak to the state at such a time? Well, if you've asked such questions, you need to pick up the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness. There we ask and answer these very questions. To find out more, visit cph.org/witness or our website witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Concordia University Chicago invites all high school students to attend the annual Careers for Christ weekend in person on our beautiful campus in River Forest. Careers for Christ is October 28th to 30th. You'll have the opportunity to learn about professional church vocations while having fun with CUC staff, faculty, and students. For more information, visit cuchicago.edu/c4c. CUChicago.edu/C, 4C.
We desire for all Christian children, including those with learning or behavior challenges, to receive a strong education in the faith. At simplyclassical.com, you will find reading, penmanship, and copybook exercises based on the truth, wisdom, and comfort of God's Word. We include Aesop's fables and classic children's literature, math, and science, all from Memoria Press. Use promo code LPR22 at simplyclassical.com.